to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. I'd like to speak for a few minutes about the perfect church meeting. The perfect church meeting. Little background here. The text begins in verse 1. The Lord is in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, and he brings together, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place, whether he himself would go. We had 12 original disciples, and he appointed another 70 to go out in pairs, two by two. You know, I think it's a good sermon right there about the need for Christian fellowship. We had two people going out. Book of Proverbs says when one is down, the other is up, and there's just a great benefit of having people sharing in fellowship. And so he sends these 70 out, 35 pairs of these two by two. You wonder why have we got 70, and what is of uniqueness about that number? You know, 12 would be related to the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob, and that makes sense to have those 12 there. But you wonder about why send 70 out. One commentator I read after point out the fact that when Moses went to Mount Sinai after the law was handed down, he took 70 of the elders with him. Exodus, the 24th chapter, verse 1, and he says, and take 70 of the elders of Israel and worship you afar off. And so I think there's a little playback here to keep the pattern going, that here we have 70 were a witness there. And so here 70 were sent out two by two to be a witness of the power of God. And they were sent out by the Lord in advance of where he was going to be coming to kind of prepare the way and to tell people that he was coming. And also just to give a sample of what the Lord's power was to these people. Verse 2 says, and he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so he's only sending out 35 pairs, and that is not a lot to go out to the territory they were going in. And you know, as far as Primitive Baptists, the number of elders that we have, that it's not a lot, but maybe they're not being utilized in the way that they should. Perhaps there are other ways we might be praying, the Lord might be blessing. But surely even the same fact is today that there are a great need. There are a lot of people out there that need to hear the message of salvation by grace, but there are not a lot of people that are available to share this. Then verse 3 says, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. In one place it tells them to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And nothing's changed today that we are out as lambs among wolves. You know, the child of God is called upon to be alert, not for fear of our life, but that those that are watching us, trying to trip us up, trying to tempt us, to cause us to get involved in things that we should not be involved in. There is a group in our neighborhood. We're now in a townhouse development, and they get together and drink every afternoon, and they have a flag. They put a flag up. The flag has got a big cocktail on it, kind of laid on the side there, and they fly the flag in front of whoever's house that the party is at. And I stop by just to visit with them, find out what's happening, and just see what's happening in the neighborhood. And invariably, they're always trying to get me to drink. You know, they know that I'm trying, I mean, I'm a preacher, and it seemed like if they could get me to take a drink, they want something. And I don't mind fellowshipping with them and eating the peanuts and their potato chips. That's great. But you have to be alert for things like that. And if you were to succumb to it, they say, ha-ha, you know, gotcha. You know, you did something that you shouldn't do. And it hasn't changed. So these 70 were warned by the Lord. He says, you're going to be out there as lambs, and you're among the wolves, and they're going to be out after you. So be alert. You know, we're told to walk circumspectly. That means to be looking around, always to be in a circle, be observing what's going on. Somebody described being circumspectly, walking circumspectly, like a tomcat walking across a board fence surrounded by a bunch of barking dogs. You know, it's kind of to be just that alert that you don't fall off the fence. And he says in verse 4, he says, neither carry purse, nor strip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. This morning, Brother Sonny, we talked about TMS syndrome, too much stuff syndrome, that people got too much stuff, both from physical possessions and then emotional carry, things or baggage we're carrying about worrying about things we've done in the past. And some churches, denominational churches, have got too much stuff in their music programs, their instruments, their ministers of music, and all the other complication they have to add in order, they think, to have worship. But you know, when the disciples got together and they left, going to the Mount of Olives, what did it say? They sang a hymn. Very simple a cappella singing right there, and that was all that was necessary. And here the Lord tells these men, travel light. Don't carry a purse, don't carry a billfold or script that was like a knapsack or, you know, a suitcase. Don't carry anything like that. Hit the road with what you're carrying. Another place it says to the 12 when he sent them out, don't even carry an extra pair of shoes. He says, you go out basically as you are and salute no man by the way. In other words, don't spend a lot of time chit-chatting. You know, you got a task to do to go out and to visit in these cities. Verse 16, he tells them, he that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despises me. And he that despises me, despises him that sent me. That's a hard time for the preacher, I think, to realize that sometimes when he is criticized by the world or made fun of by the world, and also a child of God who is criticized by the world trying to live a proper life that they are made upon as saying that you're a goody-two-shoes, you're a hypocrite, whatever, realizing they're not really despising you, they're despising the Lord. You are representing the Lord in your walk of life. And he tells these disciples, now don't worry about it. He says, if they despise you, it's me they're despising. Don't let it bother. He said, heareth you where they're hearing me. So we know that in the gospel message, not everybody is going to hear it and rejoice in it and understand it, but some will. And that's our duty and our job, to preach to those individuals that can rejoice in it. Okay, they've gone out and they have done what the Lord said, and now they come back. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. I would have liked to have been there when these 75 disciples came back. 35 pairs of two. They had been out doing what the Lord said to do. And I don't think they came back talking about the stock market, the price of things. I don't think they came back talking about things of the world, about sports. I don't think their conversation involved in anything worldly, but they were talking about their spiritual experiences. They came back and said, here's what happened. I don't know what the Jewish names might be, but just to say, Tom and Bill were talking with Sam and George, and they're engaged in conversation. Here's what happened to us, and it was exciting. They had something to report and to share one with another. It wasn't dull. It wasn't just routine. It wasn't something that it was boring. They had something that they really wanted to talk about. You know, they came back just bubbling. It says they returned again with joy. You know, it wasn't just a dull get-together. You know, sometimes our church meetings can seem a little bit on the dull side. But if we had the right attitude, it should be just as joyful as the gathering of these 35 pairs of disciples, these 70 men coming back together. We go out in the world, when we leave here this evening, those of you who will not be coming to singing school, and I hope that most of you will, it's an opportunity. But for those of you who maybe will not be able to or will not, it'll be a week before we get back together. And coming back in, we should have some things to talk about other than routine, mundane things. Things will happen to you during the week which are miraculous. Things which maybe you hadn't thought about. To say the power of God's hand is shown in your day-to-day activities, and we take these things for granted. And this should be part of our conversation and the excitement of coming back together and realizing that we are just like these 70 disciples. We've been out in the world. Now, we didn't cast out any devils. We didn't cure anybody. We didn't do all the special things they did. But we have been out there serving the Lord, involved, and doing the things the Lord has to do, and seeing the benefits of it. He said, and they returned and said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said, I beheld Satan's lightning falling from heaven. Now, sometimes I see some humor in the Bible. And I see maybe there's a little humor here. I don't know. But they're saying we're cast at the devils, we're subject to our name. And the Lord said, yeah, I even saw Satan falling from the sky. You know, you guys really did a good job. You had the power and you did what I told you to do. And the Lord said, I saw Satan, I saw what you did and how Satan was affected by it. And the Lord was encouraging them. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nowhere did he say to pick up snakes and to tempt God and handle these snakes. He said, if you were to actually step on one, that's certainly in the power and in the service of the Lord, he would be protecting you, not to tempt the Lord. One time I find that Paul on the island of Melita after a shipwreck reached and a snake grabbed hold of him and bit him, and all the people said, hey, he's going to be a dead man in just a few minutes. It latched on to him. He slung it off in the fire. But he lived. I think that's kind of what the Lord's talking about. We don't want to be foolhardy, but he did bless them with the power, those disciples at that time, to be protecting them when they're in the service of the Lord. But the bottom line is here, he says, that's great. All these things have happened. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If we could come back in here, and Brother Wayne says, I stepped on a copperhead last week, and he didn't bite me. Brother Jimmy went to the hospital, came back, restored to health. Great thing to brag about, to talk about. Brother John comes back, and some miracle happened, that he laid hands on somebody and healed him. We'd have a lot to talk about. But the Lord says here, even if that happened to you, that's not really a lot to rejoice about. He says, rejoice rather that your names, because your names are written in heaven. You and I come here, and we hear the gospel proclaimed, and we should walk away encouraged, realizing that God loved us before the foundation of the world, us as an individual, not because of anything that we did, and because of that, our names are written in heaven. Now, we're going to have twists and turns and suffer some things. We're going to maybe go through a hell here on earth because of our stupidity from time to time. But the end result is that we, like these 70, can rejoice because our names are written in heaven. In the 10th chapter of John, he says that we're in the hands of the Father. God who gave them is richer than all, and no man can pluck them out of the Father's hands. Book of Isaiah says our names are graven upon the hands of God. That should encourage us all the days of our life to realize what has been done for us and that our names are written in heaven. Now we've never seen it. I've never seen my name there. I trust that it's there, but I won't really realize until the time happens, and therefore I am living on hope. You know, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, that I'm anticipating, but I haven't really seen it yet, but I am looking forward to that time because of God-given faith, and that's the substance of things that I'm hoping for. That, to me, is a perfect church meeting. They come together. They realize how great their blessings have been from the Lord during the period of time that they have been together. They've been out in the world. They've been out as lambs among wolves, and they come back together like we have, to retreat from the world, to be just a bunch of lambs gathered together, sharing the things that have happened to us, good things, bad things, ups, downs, but all through it all, rejoicing that we know when this old time is over, when the suffering comes to an end, that we're going to be with the Lord. The Lord says, sorrow not as others, which have no hope. Sorry, we'll be sorrowing, but we know that there is hope beyond this time. If every one of our meetings could be just as exciting and just as joyful as that meeting that day, it would be certainly a thing to try to emulate, try to move toward, try to be like a meeting like that. And church, I think, would really be joyful to realize, though, that we're just like these 70 disciples. We have got so many things have happened to us that we take perhaps for granted. But even if we don't have anything big to brag about, the bottom line is they can rejoice that our names are written in heaven. May God bless you. We're going to do a little singing now. And Brother Sonny, would you like to lead some singing? Or